hearing so much and seeing their stats about how their offense is really struggling and, you know, struggling in a lot of ways. And I'm sure you're probably not buying any of it.
not with the skilled players that I see. I think Macklin's playing extremely well. You know, LeSean McCoy is one of the premier backs in the league. Ertz, the tight end, is a glorified wide tight end, but he's a wide receiver. He's like the Jimmy Grahams and the, you know, those guys of our league. So I think they, and Darren Sproles. So no, I'm not buying it.
But they have struggled in some ways. What do you see and what do you hope to make continue?
I hope they keep having a bad day. You know, you know, you say they struggle. I mean, I see a play here, a play there, and they have an explosive offense, and they can explode at any point in time. I mean, they've come back, what, in 3-4 ball games and won. So the numbers may not look gaudy, but, you know, they're moving the ball down the field, and they're scoring points. Obviously, special teams, you know, they've done a great job in that area of scoring points, but it's just a matter of them getting it together. We hope they don't get it together on Sunday night.
Talk about their explosiveness. You've allowed, I think, 5 plays over 40 yards this year, which is the same number you've allowed all last year. How are you working to clamp down on those?
It's just, again, for us, it's just continuity with who we're playing. It's communication. It's making the play when it should be made. You know, our first ball game, we didn't do a very good job in stopping an explosive play. Last week, we had an explosive play on us. We just got to know the situation, butt up, make the tackle, you know, make sure we have a sure tackle to eliminate those big plays. So, you know, we're just trying to coach through situations that we put the guys in order to eliminate those explosive plays.
With DRC, do you have to sort of adjust? I mean, he's obviously has some sort of injury that Tom said he's probably going to have to deal with. Do you maybe change how you were thinking about using him or cut down on maybe moving him around a little bit because of that?
I mean, everybody's got an injury, okay? You know, he's not hurt, okay? So he's going to play through it, and we're gonna play like we always play.
Perry, when Hankins came here last year, he said he wanted to prove that he wasn't just a run stopper. When he makes the play on Sunday, what's going through your mind, and just what's your impressions of where he's come from?
Well, I wanted to hug him and kiss him, but but I didn't think that would be appropriate. But I did hug him, okay? And I was just proud that he was able to convert and make the move that he made and sack the quarterback in that situation, you know? And I think Jonathan's improved on a daily basis for us. I mean, I've seen him grow as a run stopper. I've seen him grow as a pass rusher. So I just want to encourage him to keep doing what he's doing because he is a good football player. He's a complete football player in my mind.
I mean, you go into the last offseason, I know you coach the players that are here. You're not necessarily involved with personnel decisions, but when Linval leaves via free agency, in your mind, does it immediately go to, all right, next man up, Hank, you're in? And if so, why did he become the guy that fit there?
Yeah, I think Jerry Reese just really did a good job in scouting and say, because when we saw him on tape in college, he not only played tackle, but he played in, and he played a lot of different positions, and he played the entire game. And he played the entire game at a high rate of speed. Well, I mean, he was hustling the whole time. So, you know, when Linville left, and you know, you always want to keep the guys that you have, but, you know, we kind of, in our mind, we were saying, okay, who's going to be the next guy? Is Hank going to be the next guy? So, you know, you're training the guy to be the next man up, so to speak, and you hope he can emerge and become that next man. You never know, but you have to have that plan B, and that was plan B.
Earlier this year, you said JPP was showing flashes, and at other times he was kind of like not, you didn't see him as much. Mm-hmm. Has he gotten to the point now where it's more flashes than more disappearing?
I think so, yeah. I think he's been more consistent, you know, in the last, you know, 3-4 ball games. You know, 5 ball games, if you want to say that. But I think he's been a lot more consistent, no doubt about it.
Why has he been so good against the run? I mean, his numbers against the run, he's graded out really well. Why is that? Why do you think?
You have to ask JPP that. I mean, I'm not giving him any extra hugs and kisses, you know, to play the run. But, you know, we emphasize stopping the run. And, you know, JPP's a good football player. You guys, a lot of people want to see the flash plays that he makes, you know, because that's good for SportsCenter and that's good for, you know. But I can remember a play against Washington 2 years ago where he takes on a tight end, he throws the tight end off, the fullback comes and blocks him, he decks the fullback, and then he makes the tackle. Nobody says anything about that play, and you don't see that play, you know, flash, but that's JPP, and he's been pretty good at stopping the run and making plays like that. So, you know, if we can do that, then he can now have the flash plays in the pass game, which ultimately helps our football team.
So it's just him doing it more consistently is what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody. I mean, especially this week because you got LeSean McCoy, you know, and you got Darren Sproles, who's very explosive in the run game, and you don't want to let one of those guys get out the gate for a big play.
It seems like you never want to take Jaquan off the field. He's almost never been off the field all season.
Really?
Yeah.
We said early in camp that he's emerged to become a three-down backer, and we're just reaffirming that he's become a three-down backer. In the past, he was more of a specialist, and so I think that's a tribute to the young man that he's become a three-down backer for us.
We haven't seen opposing tight ends do much against you guys. How much has that been him and what he's able to, you know, to bring you in that regard?
Sometimes we've been lucky because opposing tight ends haven't done very much. We got a big challenge with the tight ends that they have this week. You know, we prepared and J-Dub, the safeties, everybody's, we've watched their tight ends, and we think they're really, really good. So that'll be a big challenge for us this week because that could be the X factor.
Barry, beyond just football stuff, have you seen DRC get more comfortable here in Leeds?
Since he arrived, I guess.
When you say more comfortable, can you?
Well, is he fitting in? Is he, you know, kind of? He made a big deal about wanting to find a home when he was a free agent and sort of be here for a long term. Have you seen that evolution?
You know, I think having Entrell here is very comforting for him. He's a unique young man in the sense that he's very quiet. It's in some respects. And then another, and he's very competitive too, and he wants to do the right things and be right. So when he's in the classroom, and I'll speak about the classroom, he is very focused, he's paying attention, and he is, you know, he looks to his teammates that, hey, yes, we're supposed to play it like this, but he doesn't say it out loud, but it's a look of confirmation. And I think that what we've done with not only him, but Prince and McBride, you know, we have the new unit, so to speak. I think that, yes, he has become more comfortable in speaking with his teammates and engaging with his teammates as well as his coaches. I really think that the young man is an outstanding individual and an outstanding person, and I didn't know that before.
How big a signing has Robert Ayers been for you guys? I mean, he seems to be a guy that a piece that you're able to use in a bunch of different spots and really give you some options of you know, weapon to use kind of in a different way.
Yeah, I think you're right there because he is he's given us that inside quickness that we missed when Tuck left and those kind of guys, and so he's brought that element to us, and then he's given us the outside speed that we have when we can move him outside, so he's given us that third or fourth pass rusher along with DeMontre. So he's been key into some of the things that we've done from a three-down or a four-down look with our defensive ends, and hopefully we can engage him more in the future to do some different things with him.
Perry, is your confidence level this week with Beeson any different than what it was last week as far as his availability?
He's practiced well. I have a greater confidence this week, just the way he's looked and the way he's moved in practice and the way he's conducted himself. We've given him a lot more reps than we did last week. So, yeah, my confidence level is a lot better this week.
Perry, with their screen game, we've seen your D linemen, I guess especially JPP and Ayers, kind of rally to the ball. They've been rushing, and then they've been back, you know, kind of where that tackle's being made. But with that screen game with Sproles and McCoy, how do you coach them that the Eagles can't maybe exploit aggressiveness? Or how do you handle that part of the game?
I can't tell that. I'd be telling the secret. Yeah,
that.
I can't tell that. But
it's a big part of
it. It's
game.
A big
it's
part of their
right?
game, yes, no doubt about it. And it's a big concern for us because that's an explosive play that we're trying to eliminate. And I don't know if you can always eliminate that type of play because Sproles is really good at it. He is extremely good at it.
We talk about motors a lot in players, but how much of it is just effort when you see a D lineman who's rushing, almost gets to the passer, but then, you know, he could conceivably be credited for half a tackle, you know, on the play a little bit downfield.
It's 100% effort. That's what it is. It's all effort. You stop screens with the D linemen because a lot of the guys in the back row and the linebackers, they are in coverage. And so if those guys don't turn and pursue, it's about effort and pursuit, the proper pursuit angle. Okay, if they don't do that, then you're dead.
And on a D-line, can that be a culture almost? If someone like a Jason Pierre-Paul is setting that tone, does that become something that the group, in your opinion, rallies around itself?
No doubt about it, because it sets a great example, and so we want that example set, no doubt. Very good questions, Zach.
He said after Sunday's game that the communication on the line, the defensive line, is improved. Like he and Ayers are talking during the game and calling different things. Calling some stunts at that.
I mean,
is that something that he's evolved, or did he always have
that? No, he's really evolved. You know, he talks a lot more in practice now than he's ever done, and I think that's his comfort level after, you know, 4 or 5 years. I think, you know, Coach Nunn, Coach Nunn gets all the credit because JPP is a talented guy, and Coach Nunn has done a great job of teaching him football and situations and things to look for. And it's a credit to Jason that he's studied and he's retaining that information. And he feels good about sharing that information. And he's right. And that's growth.